See, when Jesus has become your Lord, not only your Savior, you live differently. Not many people encounter him as Lord, but they're willing to have him as Savior. Because the moment he comes your Lord, you've got to submit under his Lordship. And then that song we sang, I surrender all. It's nie maklik om te surrender nie. But the good news is God will make you surrender, whether you like it or not. So brace yourself. Amen. Even if he's got to clean out everything like he did with Robin. But you see, God has always got your best at heart. Even if he cleans you out, he sees the end before the beginning. What a promise. Praise God. You know, tonight I want to talk to you about the one who vouches for you. I said to you we were going to share this. And what was really so amazing is, and we thank Emil for last week for the message, can I live without sin? And what an amazing word. What a well-researched word. What a great encouraging word. I was so encouraged about that myself. And maybe you want to do yourself a favor. Go onto our website, bikerschurchcapetown.com, and we're there. Or go onto our Facebook page. We will have the sermons downloaded. You can download it there. But it's a good idea that you look at it, because can I live without sin? So the sermon I'm going to share with you tonight was prepared a week and a half before Emil shared his word. And I wasn't sure exactly what he was going to share. When I saw the topic, I thought, oh, you're biting off more than you can chew. But he came through very unscathed, which was really amazing. Well done, Emil. But you'll see tonight as I talk to you about this stuff, because exactly what he was teaching right at the beginning, he spoke about the old covenant and the new covenant. You see, the old covenant was determined on man fulfilling a lot of laws so that the covenant would be there. God made the covenant, but the man destroyed it. But you see, tonight we're going to celebrate the new covenant in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you something, that Jesus, as we heard last week, Jesus made sure, God made sure that he didn't have to rely on you and I, because we're unreliable, hello. He relied on himself. God the Father, God the Son came and he died on a cross to ensure that we will have a new covenant and that we will be able to get through this thing. So we don't have to rely on ourselves or bulls or lambs or all sorts of chutzas. We can rely on Jesus. So the question was asked, can I live without sin? If you remember one of the parts of the story over there, and it sort of got me to think of the one Bible story, but he was talking about little Johnny goes to the pig pen. He looks in the pig pen. Then he climbs in the pig pen. And then he gets dirty. And then he keeps playing in the pig pen. And of course, if he doesn't come out the pig pen, he begins to behave and look like a pig. Isn't that so? But you see, God doesn't want us to live in the pig pen, because when the prodigal son, that story in the Bible there, the prodigal son in Luke 15, in fact, it's not about the prodigal son, it's about the loving father. I always read it like that, because that's what it's all about. But you see, when he was in that farkok, and they were feeding him cucumbers, he thought, hey, let's get out of here, pal. But the fact of the matter is, while he was in the pig pen, he decided to go back to Father's house. And it's a beautiful story, the ending. You see, for each one of us, there's a beautiful story in the ending of our lives. Why? Simply because of this that I want to share with you tonight. The one who vouches for you. Now, maybe the Afrikaans don't know exactly what a voucher is. Maybe somebody gives you a voucher, you go buy it, Kumbuka, a voucher. That's also a voucher. But the voucher, the Afrikaanse woord, in line with what I will for julle deel van, met julle deel vanaand, is this. Vouchers, God, the one who vouches for you means, die een wat vir my instaan, die een wat vir my goed staan, die een wat vir my egtheid waarborg. Isn't that fantastic? You see, when God looks at you, if you're making drug, he's going to help you to come out of that drug you're busy making. If you're busy in sin, he's going to help you out of that stuff. He who started a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, he will complete that work until Jesus comes. God wants you better. Amen. So are you in a place of sin? Are you busy with stuff you shouldn't be busy? Is there sin in your life? Because the question was, can I live without sin? Well, it's kind of possible, but the fact is, every now and again, we have a pigsty experience. Amen. Anybody here had a pigsty experience? So we all have it. And the English word for vouch, and other words for vouch, means to bear witness to back up, to support, to throw one's weight behind. Can I just tell you, all of that is exactly what Jesus does with you. Say, I'm blessed. You better believe you're blessed. You've got a God who loves you stickened. You are so special. You're the apple of His eye tonight. He's for you more than you even realize tonight. Hallelujah. So this dude over here, by the name of Aaron Strasser, I want to ask this question as he asked it, and I wrote down this quote of his, and the question remains for you and I tonight. He says, do I believe that God is right here tonight, and we've experienced His presence, and I just sense a spirit of faith come over this church tonight. God has lifted your faith tonight. Tonight you're going to hear stuff, and it's going to excite your inner man tonight, and the stuff you're dabbling in with and you're busy, He's going to deliver you from that stuff tonight. Not because you're good, because He's good. Amen. Hallelujah. So you ask the question, do you believe that God is right here? And is He ready to be my comfort and to be my strength in every situation? Say, every situation. Yes. He said, it doesn't matter what you're going to. If you really believe He's here tonight and He can deliver you. I think one of Emil's comments was, you've got to want to want to. Yes. On and on and on and on. And then He will discipline you. Amen? He says He will discipline you. God is committed to your success. Why? Because He's the one that vouches for you. And what is it? Hy staan in vir jou. Hy staan goed vir jou. Hy waarborg jou egtheid. Dis my seun daai. Ek het vir hom gesterwe. My bloed het hom skoon gewas. He's my child. Watch him. Hallelujah. So where you go, man, the Father's proud of you. Hallelujah. We should live that He is proud of us. Amen. I'm going to tell you about the one who vouches for you. But, so the story about a guy, talking about vouching for somebody. This guy wants to go into this country village and he wants to go on a holiday. Just him and his dog. So he writes a letter on an email to this hotel in this beautiful countryside. And he says, look, I'd like to come to you and I want to come spend a couple of weeks there. He says, but I've a bit of a problem. I've got a dog and I'd like to bring my dog with. He's well groomed, he's well mannered, he's well behaved, he'll sleep with me in the room, he have no problems, he doesn't have fleas, I look after him, alles is mooi, so prachtig gebrak. Man, and very shortly, within a couple of hours, whoop, here comes the email back. He says, man, sir, he says, I just want to say to you today, he says, I've got to be confessed. I've never ever had a dog steal our cutlery, our towels, our bedding, or anything. I've never had to discard a dog drunk and disorderly. And I've never had a dog walk out on me and not pay his bill. He says, so sir, your dog's welcome. He says, and if your dog can vouch for you, you can also come. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the one who vouches for us tonight. Man, I'll tell you something. This is so precious. This is so beautiful. If you could just understand the heart of God, and as God gave me this and I put it together, I began to see the heart of God towards us. You have no idea really how God loves you, how He really does. Listen, people who are living in the truth, Jesus will vouch for them. You see, Jesus walks there with the disciples in the vineyard in John 15, and He looks at the vine, and He says, my Father is the gardener. My Father, the gardener, planted a vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. You see, the branches come out of the vine. It's the branch that gets the sap from the vine. It's the branch that bears fruit. And what does Jesus want us to do in John 15? He doesn't want you just to be a klein klossie. He wants you to bear fruit, more fruit, and abundant fruit. Hy wil hê jy moet 'n groot tros druiwe geestelik wees vir hom. Amen. You see, when you're abiding in the vine, He says, if vitally connected to, not connected to me, you can do nothing. So we need to be connected to Him. And when I'm connected to Him, let me tell you, the day you said yes to Jesus, you were connected to the vine, and the anointing and the Spirit of God began to flow in and through and into your life. You don't belong to yourself anymore. The Bible says you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The living, life-giving force of God comes flowing in your life. You can live like an overcomer and victorious. Remember that sermon a couple of weeks ago. So the power of God flows in our life. You see, the Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see, what an awesome truth. What an amazing truth. And to know that He vouches for us before the Father. Isn't that just so amazing? Right now, God is vouching for you. You think, oh, I've been a bit wild, eh? Sure. You think He's vouching for me now? I'm here to tell you that God wants you better. You see, before I read the scripture, the key scripture verse of where my sermon is taken from, I just want to read to you 1 John 1 from verse 8 through 10. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's the key. If, I love that word if, nah. Say if. So in other words, the potential is very good that you're going to. But the potential is to sin, that is. But he says, but if, so the choice you make, say it's my choice. Say if is my choice. Because it says if we confess our sins, what is he? He's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to not have sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. You see, the key of what John is trying to say here. Now he's writing to the Christians, and then he starts the, well, it was one letter, but the translators that put the Bible together said chapter 1, number, and number chapter 2, as the tone changed. But it's the same message. Read it in the same light. Listen to what he says now. And here's our key scripture tonight. Listen to what he says. My dear children, who's he talking to? To the church of God. He's talking to us. He says, my dear children, and I want you to read it like that as though God was speaking to us tonight. He says, my dear children, God is talking to you tonight. He says, I write this to you. Why do I write this to you? What he's just said. He says, so that, you know, my favorite word, nah? So that you will not sin. In other words, the potential is we are possibly going to sin. Amen? Yes? I mean, it's the Oaks listening to me on the CD now, not you Oaks. I'm in the presence of angelics. He says, but if, say if. If anybody does sin, what does that word say? If, in other words, it's not when everybody sins, he says if. So the potential is good that we are going to sin. But if you do sin, anybody does sin, we haven't, what's the word? Say it loud. You better believe him tonight. Advocate. Where is our advocate? What does he say? With the Father. Who is he? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only ours, and I thank God for this scripture. Not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. He says, so if you do sin, you have an advocate. I want to remind you. We have an advocate. We have an advocate. You see, that word advocate in the Greek means that word. It means parakletos. There's the Greek word. It means, what does it mean? It says here in John 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate. That's what he was saying. Or he will give you a parakletos. And the parakletos is what? He's a helper. He's a comforter. He's a, listen to the word, an advocate. He's an intercessor. He's a counselor. He's a strengthener. He's a standby. To do what? To be with you how long? What does that say, that last word? Wherever the last word is. It's on there. Don't we have that scripture on there? Oh, okay. That was one of my sneaky scriptures. For some reason, I'm not sure why it's not there. But anyway. Okay. We'll be with you forever. Believe me, it does stand like that, yeah. Anybody want to come up and check quickly? No, it's only kidding. But he promises to be with us forever. Please understand this. Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the Father, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, and he's going to do something. He's going to come and do this. What's he going to do? He's going to come and comfort. He's going to be an advocate. He's going to be an intercessor. He's going to counsel you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to stand by you to be with you forever. Why do you think he told us that? Listen, you have a Parakletos living in you tonight if you're born again child of God. Hallelujah. Somebody get excited about it. Say, thank you, Jesus. So tonight I'm talking about the one who vouches for you. Who's the one that vouches for you? Tonight I want to give you five things that the advocate, the paracletos, does for you and for me. Are you ready for that tonight? Are you ready to be liberated? Five things an advocate can do. Beautiful. Number one, he stands with you when you're in trouble. Have you ever, anybody here that's been in trouble? For the right or the wrong reasons, but whatever. But I've been listening, so scam om your hand up to steek. Mense dink dat ek is iets anders met my. Yeah, he's the one who stands with you when you're in trouble. And as we read that scripture, listen, John says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Can I just say this? God wants you and I to live an overcoming life. God is fully committed to you to live an overcoming life. Can I say this about the new covenant? The new covenant is in the blood of Jesus. We'll read it and we'll take covenant tonight. The new covenant is for you and I. God ensured that we can get through victoriously, and then when we do sin, so we can get out of it, and that he can come and strengthen us, and that he will carry us through, and that he will stand with you when you're in trouble. You know the biggest problem with people when they get into trouble and they step over the line or they do whatever, they run away from Jesus. Hey, listen, you want to run to your advocate. Let me tell you. Ever, anybody ever been in a court? Except for Danny. Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something. You want to kiss your advocate when he's making a lekker sock for you, bro. When you like got to like in debt over there and you made droog, and then he sort of tells your honor. You want to hug the oak, man. Let me tell you something. We need to hug our advocate, man. He loves you so much tonight. He wants to stand with you when you're in trouble. Hallelujah. I believe when John wrote this humbly by stating we have an advocate, when he said that, he realized his own weaknesses and he realized his own need for an advocate, because he said that in 1 John 1 verse from verse 8 to 10. He says, but if we do sin, we have this advocate. God is for us. God wants to help us. Amen. Do you believe that? You see how Paul realized himself and understood that he needed an advocate. Now this scripture was used last week. And my next verse, the spiritual man and his walk, is what I'm going to talk to you about. And I want to use this scripture again. I'd already prepared this before last week's sermon. But listen to what Paul says in Romans 7, verse 18 through 20. He says, for I know that the good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. Who knows that no good dwells in us except for Jesus? Okay, a few of you think you self-righteous bunch. Who knows that no good really dwells in us except for Jesus? If it wasn't all about him, where would you be tonight? Where would I be tonight? I'd probably been buried already. Or I'd be in a home, or I'd be on a, or I'd be standing on by the robot. I'm not mocking, but that's where I would have been. But listen to what he says. He says, for I know that good itself doesn't dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. Why? He says, for I have the desire to do what is good. Is there anybody that has a desire to do what is good? Can I see your hand? You really want to do good, eh? Okay, well, not everybody put up their hands. Could the rest of you, the ones who want to do bad, could I just see your hands? Okay, we have a crazy mixed up audience here, Jesus. But he says, the para don't want to leave me. I didn't say that. He says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. He says, and I've got to watch this because this is like a lot of do's and don'ts here. Listen to this. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This, I find I keep doing this stuff. Anybody know that? Sis man. No, I'm only kidding. No. It's true. So he says, now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. And you'll hear next week, I'm going to talk about that. It's not a cop-out to sin. Oh, like, you know, the things I don't want to do, I don't do them. And I just want to go do them more and more and more. Because the things I can't do, yet I do them. No. That's not an excuse. Amen? Because verse 24 and 25 puts light on the subject. Listen what he says. What a wretched man I am. Anybody thinks that you're a wretched man? That's me. I say to God lots, oh, wretched man that I am, Lord. He says, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death, the sinful body, the sinful way? Now, isn't this beautiful? Those first three words, thanks be to God. First four words, thanks be to God. Dankie Here. He's looking at himself and he says, you know what? I can't get this right, but hang on a bit. Whoa, hang on a bit. There's someone who vouches for me. It's called the Parakletos, the attorney. The whatever you call that dude, that other dude, I'll get his name, no, the advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. And John said that to us. So he says, thanks be to God who delivers me. Say, delivers me. You see, deliverance is for you and for me. He says, thanks be to God for Jesus who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to the law of sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you happy and blessed to have God's mercy for you tonight? Listen, he comes to us in our sin. He comes to you in your sin. You know why? Because he wants to bring correction. Why can he do that? Because he has a covenant. It's called the new covenant in his blood. He paid a price for you and me. So we can come to him at any time with all the druch we've made. And we say, God, here I am. And thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ who will bring deliverance in our lives. Amen. We have a responsibility as well. We got to bring our responsibility. Listen what Proverbs 28:13 says. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Who does not prosper? They who conceal their sins. Do nothing about it. But he who confesses and renounces his sin, what do? You find mercy. You see, Jesus doesn't just help you when you're doing good. He helps you out when you fall into bad. You see, sometimes that's how many people think about God. When you're doing good and you're coming to church and you're saying all the right things and you're reading your Bible, ooh, hallelujah. But there comes a time when you're going to do stuff and you're going to sin and something's going to happen. And the Bible says, my little children, I'll have it that you don't sin. But if you do, we have an advocate, man. The one who's vouching for you is what he's saying. God doesn't only come to us and love us when we're like well-groomed, fruit-bearing, beautiful. He loves you all of the time. And he's not happy to see you losing it and see you stepping in sin and doing stuff like that. So by no greater oath, he swore by himself that he will have a new covenant with us. Dat hy betroubaar is om jou uit die gat uit te haal. Amen. Prys die Here for dit. Why? Because God knows our hearts better than we know ourselves. Listen, Jeremiah 17 verse 19 and 10 says, 17 verse 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. What is deceitful above all things? The heart of man. He says this, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? By reference meaning only God can understand it. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, your gedachtes, and what your heart on, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. That's very, very powerful. We need to understand that. So what does the advocate do for us tonight? How does God vouch for us? The one who stands with us when we mess up. Amen. Is there anybody that's messed up? Take some rude honesty here tonight. Hallelujah. Number two. What does the advocate do? How does he vouch for us? Listen, he gives you a recommendation when you need it. Ach, Here, please come through for me. Is there? Have you ever needed a CV to somebody to give you a recommendation when you were looking for a job? Anybody had that experience in your life? You needed somebody. Some people come and ask me to write to a CV for a job, and the job requires that somebody, if you go to church, your pastor writes you a CV. So live in such a way so I don't have to lie on your form. And I've got to go and repent and throw sackcloth and ash all over me and lie for a week. Live in such a way so I can go right there on your CV. But the fact of the matter is, God gives a recommendation when we need it. Like somebody in your company, they will call somebody in who works with you to attest for your character. Is it nie wonderlik om te dink dit vir die advokaat vir ons doen? He vouches for you and me. He comes and he recommends us when we need it. God, I need you to break through for me here now. Lord, I've messed up a bit, but please help me here. You know what 1 John 2 verse 2 says this. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. What does that speak about? How does he stand in the gap and give recommendations for us when we need it? This speaks of the sprinkling of the blood as a sacrifice on the mercy seat of God, of the Ark of the Covenant. And that photo is exactly what the high priest, he was the only one that was allowed into the Holy of Holies, and he'd take the blood and he'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat so God could give mercy to the nation of Israel. Aren't you excited tonight about this? As the high priest stood between God and the people of Israel, so Jesus stands between us and God due to our sins. Where's the mercy seat? In heaven. The advocate stands on our behalf. My little children, I'll have it if you don't sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate. The one who vouches for us. Isn't it exciting? May it be liberating to you tonight. I just want to read a scripture. It's not on there, but just to see it in its context. And this is in Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. He says, for we do not have a high priest, not a human high priest anymore. Jesus is our high priest. He says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. Say sympathize. We don't have a high priest that's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. The only reason Jesus was without sin, because we were born through the Adam, through the lineage of Adam, Jesus was born to Mary by God, by a pure seed. But he lived in a sinful world. He was tempted like you and I. He went through the same stuff that you and I went through. Now, can you see the scripture in context? Listen to what he says. Because he said he sympathizes with our weaknesses. He was tempted in everything. He went to the guttermost so that he could pick up everybody from the guttermost up to the uttermost. He didn't leave anybody out. He says, let us then approach the throne of grace. There where God sits, the throne of grace. How can we do it? With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Isn't it wonderful to have this amazing advocate who stands in the gap for you and for me? Firstly, he does. He's the one who stands in the gap when we really mess up. He's the one who gives us a recommendation when we've messed up. He recommends and he says, you know, Father, I paid a price for this child of mine. I have faith in this child of mine. Look at him. He's repented. He's come back to me. God says, I forgive you. You will find mercy and grace just in time when you need it. Amen. Anybody need mercy and grace here tonight? Number three, he puts his reputation at stake to help yours. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I use the King James Version here because it uses this word exactly. Philippians 2 verse 7, he says he made himself of no reputation. What he did is he took upon him the form of a servant and he was made in the likeness of men. You see, this is such an unexplainable, beautiful picture of Jesus. He made himself, listen, of no reputation. You see, when you have somebody and you know of somebody and they do something, like somebody's maybe a good electrician or a plumber or whatever, he has a reputation, you can get that. He comes, he's reputable, he has a reputation. Let me tell you, when Jesus came here, God himself came here and he lowered him below everything and he took no reputation. Think about that a little bit. He had nobody to say anything good about him. He had no reputation. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm just saying here tonight, church? He made himself to have no reputation. What is your reputation tonight when people talk about you? Hello, I'm asking you. He laid it all on the line so that we can have a reputation before God. Why? Because he made himself no reputation. When he rose from the grave to be seated at the right hand of the Father, we have an advocate tonight and we can come. Jesus, the righteous one, the one who vouches for you and mine. Why? Because he made himself to no reputation. So if you've lost your reputation because of sin and because of nonsense in your life, let me tell you, there's one who made himself lower than your reputation to pick you up and give you reputation again. Hey, listen, I would get excited. I'd run around in circles now if you've made a lot of droog and you know what forgiveness is all about. Oh, hello. Our reputation becomes our testimony. What is my reputation? It's my testimony. I love Jesus. I serve Jesus. People know that. That's your reputation that you carry. Do you know how important your reputation is to your life? Amen? Your testimony. Listen to this. Revelation 12:11 says, they triumphed over him. Who's him? Satan and his demons. We triumphed over him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And what else? The word of our testimony. My reputation must be my testimony. I love Jesus. I serve Jesus and I want to serve Jesus. Do I make druk? God comes and he made himself to, as the scripture says, he made himself of no reputation so that I can have a reputation again. It's amazing. You see, we as humans, when somebody makes droog, then we keep nailing him. And we keep nailing him. But Jesus forgave you long time ago. I want to say this tonight. There's somebody sitting here tonight. Some of you, maybe not one or two. You carrying stuff that you made droog about for a long time ago, but you're still carrying it around. God has left it long time ago. Ain't it a bit sick for you with your nonsense now? Ach, Heere, ek het droog gemaak. Sê, maar wat het jy nou gedoen? Want ek het dit in see van vergetenheid gegooi. Nou waaroor dink jy nou weer? Maar Here, daai tyd, daai my hoekie, daai, jy weet. And then we carry, and we carry, and we carry unnecessary. Number four. Isn't it good, hey? We're doing well here, aren't we? Number four. He speaks mercy for us when we don't deserve it. Oh, hallelujah. That's what the advocate does. You see, he vouches for us. We don't deserve, we get mercy. Listen here. Mercy and grace are often very confused. People confuse the two. So I want to give you a quick analysis of this. To summarize the difference is this. Listen what mercy is. Mercy is God not punishing us for our sins that we deserve. That's mercy. Go read how many places in the Bible. I shared that a long time ago about mercy. Go see how many times the Bible talks about mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. That's what David cried out to God. You see, we deserve it, but mercy delivers you and me. That's what he comes and does. He seeks mercy for us. That's why he is our advocate. That's why John could say, my little children, I'll have it that you don't sin. But if you do, we have an advocate, Jesus, the righteous one, seated at the right hand of God. So what is grace then? God, grace is God's blessing us despite the fact that we don't deserve it, but still he blesses us. Amen? That's the difference between mercy and grace. So they take Jesus on when he was hanging around with the unscathed people. They call him a drunkard. They call him a whoremonger. They call him all sorts of funny names. And you know what Jesus does? He turns around and he says these words to them in Matthew 9:13. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, but go and learn. He says, hey, Yella, you're judging me. Go and learn. Go and learn what? What this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You see, God, we can come with sacrifices. Oh, we can pray, we can say things, we can do things, we come to church, we can work in the church, we can do all sorts of things. God's not interested in all your sacrifices. He's interested in mercy. Who must you give mercy to in your life still tonight? Mercy triumphs over judgment, eh? Amen? Mercy triumphs over judgment. So he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners. God wants to help you out of that hole that you're in. Amen. Are you happy about that? The great Lamentations, Jeremiah the prophet, this is what he says, Lamentation 3, 21, 22. He says, but this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. He says, yes, I remembered this, and I call it to mind. And what did he call to mind? What did he remember? What gave him hope when he felt he was a failure and life wasn't good and he felt he was a rotten sinner? Listen what he says. It is because of the Lord's loving kindness. That actual word in the King James, loving kindness, is actually a word. It's mercy. He says, and I'll read it with mercy. He says, This I call remind, therefore I have hope. It's because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Why? Because His tender compassions never fail. Listen, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've gotten up to, listen, I'm here to tell you, you have an advocate tonight. His name's Jesus the Righteous. Are you excited about that? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you've been sinning bad, you should be very happy here tonight. And if you're self-righteous, you should also be very happy here tonight. Because Jesus didn't come for those with a position, but tonight you can repent of your self-righteousness. Because the Bible says if you say that you have no sin, you're only making Him out to be a liar. Amen? Praise God. Last but not least, He does what He does because of who He is and not because of who we are. He came and died because He loved us so much. He cared for us so much just because He is. Listen to this beautiful scripture in Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they. Are you blessed tonight? If you've been sinning, go to Him, ask Him for forgiveness. Let me tell you, He's the one who vouches for you because of who He is, not because of you. You've done nothing to deserve it. That's mercy, my friend. Are you listening to me? He says, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Die Here sal dit nie teen jou tel nie. When you've laid it down by Jesus' feet, listen, Mary Magdalene, when He wrote in the sand, and she looked up, and when He spoke to the people, He said, you without sin, cast the first stone. Mercy, not sacrifice. Sacrifice they brought there. Hey, we must bring this woman, she's caught in the act of adultery. Then when Jesus says to him, you were the first stone, you without sin, cast the first stone. And she says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, nobody here, Lord. He says, go and sin no more. Isn't that beautiful? What is the key? Go and sin no more. Not once more. Psalm 16 verse 2 says, I say to the Lord, Ach Here, ek sê vir u, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Can we really say that tonight? Sonder u, Here, het ek geen goeie ding nie. Now I'm going to close off tonight. I just said the sense as we began to worship, there was a strengthening of faith that God put over the congregation tonight. And I just sensed, even as I began to prepare the sermon, julle lyk baie vroom vanaand en julle lyk so heilig en al die, but I know what's going on in your hearts. No, dead serious. But not I know. I know through the Spirit. I don't know what. I've not been revealed anything that you've done. But I want to say this, God knows, the heart is deceitful above all. And as goed wat julle besig is om te dra, as goed wat julle besig is met, and God is just here tonight to vouch for you. He's here to stand in the gap for you. Now listen to this beautiful scripture here, and I'm going to read it in the modern tense, in the now form. Listen to what it says. In that day, God says, it'll be said to Bikers Church and those listening on the CD, do not be afraid, O children of God. Do not let your hands fall limp. In ander woorde, moenie pap sat en moeg raak oor die dinge wat jy droog mee gemaak het nie. Ek is hierso om jou op te tel. I want to lift you up. I want to raise you above all the wrong that you've done and give you a hope and a future, man. I want you to walk on top of your problems, not be under them. Amen. Because He says, the Lord your God is in your midst. Do you believe that tonight? God is hier so vanaand. He says He's a warrior. And what does He do? He saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love towards you. He will make no mention of your past sins. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Amen. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Some of the translations talk about God spinning around us with excitement. The angels are excited. Why? Because they saw the price Jesus paid. When they see a table like this, and we're going to go onto this table now to rejoice tonight. They're excited. Isn't that what the Bible says? When one sinner comes into glory, the angels go in for furing. They rejoice. They're excited. Hey, nog een kom huis toe. Hallelujah. Nog een kom huis toe. And the guys want to help with the communion, if you wouldn't mind, just to move towards the communion table and get it ready for us. Thanks, guys. We're going to go straight into the communion table in the light of what you've just heard now. Amen. Are you encouraged through this word tonight? Church, amen. Amen. I want you to just pause and think and consider where you are tonight in your relationship with Jesus. What is in your heart? What do you need to bring to Jesus? Listen, it's not over until it's over, okay? Jesus het nog nie gekom vanavond, is 'n wonderlike aand en 'n wonderlike geleentheid om jou saak met die Here Jesus reg te maak. And the Bible says, yeah, for I received from the Lord that which I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke that bread, and he said, this is my body, it is for you, do this in remembrance of me. His body had to suffer so that we could go free. Amen? And then he continued to say, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Say new covenant. Aren't you so excited there's a new covenant? And the new covenant is in him, not in our abilities. He's assured it. He said yes, and it's amen, and it's klaar gedaan, it's klaar gedoen. Amen. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. Remember me. For whenever you drink this cup and drink from this cup and you eat this bread, you claim the Lord's death until he comes again. Who knows? Jesus is coming soon. I don't think too many times we live in such a way. And so tonight, what you've heard can liberate you to get back to that place. Because you see, when we got sin, we're saying, ach, Here, pause net a dag of twee, jy weet. Want ek moet nou hierdie meisneste moet ek nou 'n bietjie uitsorteer, jy weet. No, man. Get rid of them tonight in this place. Satan is defeated, man. Hy het vir jou lank genoeg gelieg. Jesus loves you. He defeated Satan. You have a wonderful fresh passage into the freedom of Jesus Christ tonight. Jy het 'n vryheid wat na jou toe kom in Jesus' name. Therefore, when you eat this, you're thinking of him. Therefore, when you eat this bread and you drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, you'll be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. You know, we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago when I spoke about communion. Jy kan nie deelname aan Jesus hê as Jesus nog nie jou verlosser is. If Jesus is not your Savior and your Lord, why do you want to take bread and take the cup? Because you don't have a part with him. So if you don't have a part with Jesus tonight, and you're not born again, and you're not a child of God, don't take communion. This is for believers. Amen, church. A man ought to examine himself before he eats this bread and drinks this cup. Examine himself. Say, Lord, I'm examining myself. And I'm not lying right now, Lord. For anyone who eats this drink, this bread, and drinks this drink without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks a judgment on himself. There's the warning. He says, that is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have even died, because you've done that. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. What God wants you to be honest with yourself tonight. And so you take the bread, and you take the blood of the new covenant. Say, thank you for what you've done for me, Jesus. You vouch for me tonight. And so if there's something you've got to lay down, I want you to do that tonight. But when you walk out here, you must walk out here free like a bird. Amen? As God promised us, your exit will be greater than your entrance. Kyk, jy het met soveel goed ingekom, jy kon nie by die deur ons moes hom dubbel oopmaak met al jou nonsense. Maar vanaand kan jy deur 'n kraak hier so uitgaan. Hallelujah. Sneak through a crack. Because you're going to be so light. Because you choose to. Amen? Let's hand out the elements. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Just hold the elements in your hand until we've all been served, and then we'll take communion together. And then we'll just spend those moments in the presence of our Lord.